Well, I absolutely love that song, but I cannot sing it because I become a slobbering mess. It's one of those songs that just hits my heart. And we all have them. We all have those songs that tug at our heartstrings. But the message of that song is so powerful. And what a beautiful testimony of God's love for us. Amen. How many greats have become the least for us? It's only one. And that was Jesus. So if you have your Bible this morning, turn over to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 20 as we continue on with our series. We've been looking at the different characters of the Christmas story. The first week we looked at Mary. Last week we looked at Joseph. Today we're going to focus on the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. How many of you like to watch a Charlie Brown Christmas every year? That's a classic, right? It's one of our favorites. This might date you a little bit or might scare you a little bit. It debuted in 1965. That was 5 years before I was born, okay? So that's a long time ago. But it's been playing every year on TV since then. And in the story, we know it pretty well, Charlie Brown confesses to Linus that despite all the things that he loves about Christmas, he's still depressed, right? He just can't quite get that joy in his heart. And so what does Charlie Brown do? He's trying to find anything that he can grasp onto. So he visits Lucy, her psychiatric booth, right? It's cost 5 cents or whatever to get some psychiatric advice. And he tells her his problem. And so she suggests that he get involved in something. So she suggests that he directs the group's annual Christmas play to get involved. So he accepts that. And so he goes to the school and he's going to direct the play, but the cast is unsupportive of Charlie Brown. And he decided that the set needed something. So he decides to go get a Christmas tree. That was needed for the play. And so Charlie Brown does the Charliest Brown thing that anybody can do. He gets the most pitiful looking tree because he feels sorry for it. And in my opinion, that's the right move, okay? Go for the least, go for the lowly, that type of thing. And so he brings home this pitiful looking tree. And of course, the other kids mock Charlie Brown and they laugh at him. And Charlie Brown, he's just totally dejected at this point. Just doesn't know what to do. And he admits that he's a failure. And then he asks a very important question, kind of yells it in a way. He says, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? And who is it that sets Charlie Brown straight and the rest of the people? It's Linus, right? The curtain drops, the curtain rises up, puts the spotlight on Linus. He recites the announcement of Jesus to the shepherds from Luke chapter 2, which is our text this morning. And sometimes we forget about the valuable role that the shepherds play in the Christmas story. And hopefully this morning you'll learn something new as we look at their role in the Christmas story. So let's read the passage together and then we'll get into it. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior who is Messiah the Lord was born for you in the city of David. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth, and lying in a feeding trough. Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported this message that they were told about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So we see the shepherds here in this story. And so let's talk just a minute, because we want to have a background. Sometimes it's good to look at the background behind certain people, certain groups of people, in order to understand better the story. So let's talk about shepherds in the Bible for just a minute as just a source of reference. We know that shepherding has always been a part of Israel's history, right? You can go back and read throughout the Old Testament. We see that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were shepherds in the land of Canaan. Rachel and Leah tended their father Laban's flocks. Joseph, Jacob's son, was a shepherd before he was sold into slavery by his brothers. We know that Moses was a shepherd in Midian before God called him to deliver his people from Egypt. Of course, King David was a shepherd before he was anointed by Samuel. David tells how he killed a lion and a bear while defending his father's flock as a shepherd boy over in 1 Samuel 17. And we know that Amos, the prophet, was a shepherd in Tekoa and spoke against the injustice and idolatry of Israel and Judah. So shepherding has always been a part of Israel's history all throughout the Bible as we read it. And another thing that you may not know about shepherds is shepherding often ended up as the job of the youngest person in the family. Again, we see this in David's life as he cared for the sheep while his brothers went off to war. And later on in Jesus' day, if you were an adult and still a shepherd, you were considered a failure because that was a job for people that were insignificant. We know that shepherds often wandered from place to place. They lived in tents. They were nomadic. When the food supply got scarce, they would move their herds to higher pastures in the hot summer or to warmer valleys in the winter. Now, a flock, if you were a shepherd and you had a flock, it didn't just usually have sheep. You normally had goats as well, so a flock included both sheep and goats. We know that sheep are very nervous. They need constant care. Goats are harder to handle than sheep because they like to climb rocky hillsides, right? They're kind of stubborn that way. Sheep produce wool for clothing and meat for special meals, and many sheep were also used for sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem. It's likely that some of the sheep in the fields near Bethlehem at that time of Jesus' birth were intended to be offered as a temple sacrifice on one of the most important Jewish festivals. So a flock included both sheep and goats. A shepherd was the sole protector of his herd, played a very important role in the life of his flock. Life was difficult for shepherds. They spent most of their time outside watching over the herd. They often slept near their flock to protect them from the elements and robbers and wild animals. At night, they would gather their flocks into places called sheepfolds. And these could be a stone wall made by the shepherds or a natural enclosure like a cave. And so they would put them in there, and they counted their flocks when they came into the fold at night by separating the sheep from the goats with a walking stick. And then they counted them again in the morning when they left to go into the pastures. But one more thing about shepherds is that, especially in Jesus' day, shepherds didn't have a good name among many of the religious leaders. In Jesus' day, shepherds were considered the lowest class of people in Jewish society. The religious leaders placed shepherds into the same category as sinners and tax collectors and people like that. And as a result, these same religious leaders were often hesitant to buy wool or milk from these shepherds because they were sinful people and they didn't want to because of their lowly status. And so they were looked down upon in everyday life. And they were so looked down upon that even their testimony often was not considered valid in a court because they were looked at as liars. So knowing what we know about shepherds and kind of their interesting history and the thought process behind, at least with some people, with shepherds, I'm going to come to a question is, why did God tell the shepherds first? Why were they the first ones to hear about the birth of the King, Jesus? Why did God tell the shepherds first? Why didn't he choose the religious leaders? I mean, these were the guys they were supposed to have their act together. They were the ones that had been waiting all along for the Messiah. Surely they would have been excited after waiting for thousands of years to meet their Savior. Why not choose even a rich man whose testimony would have been carried, would have carried more weight? Why was it the lowly shepherds? Why the shepherds? When knowing what we know about shepherds, they were the least likely people to hear about the news of the birth of the King. The fact that God chose the shepherds, though, to announce the birth of his Son shows us that Jesus came for all people. Amen. He came for all people, even those who are considered lowly. And listen, as we know the Bible and we often see things in the Bible that don't quite make sense, it's just like God to do something like this, right? To choose shepherds over anybody else to announce the birth of his Son. Because his ways are always just the opposite of what the world thinks. Often when you see Jesus doing something or you see something in the Bible, it's opposite of what the world thinks. And it's exactly what happened here. God chose the lowly shepherds to announce the birth of his Son. And this emphasized the tone of Jesus' life and ministry on earth. Instead of choosing a life of luxury and power, you know, that's what you often think of in a king, living in a palace, having comfort and food and everything that the world has to offer. Okay, instead of choosing a life of luxury and power, Jesus has humble origins. He exercises humility, even to the point of death on the cross. That's what Paul said in Philippians, right? That in Philippians 2, that God emptied himself. He didn't consider his position in heaven as something to be held on to or grasp, but he actually emptied himself and became a man, and he lived among us. And Paul says that he became a servant to the world to the point of going to the cross and dying on the cross for the sins of humanity. So Jesus was humble, even to the point of death. And the fact that the shepherds were the first ones to hear about Jesus' birth, I believe also foreshadows his role as our good shepherd. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:11? He said, I'm the good shepherd, right? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so we understand that Jesus didn't come for the sake of himself. He came for the sake of others. And he emphasized this in Matthew 20:28, where he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus understood that his life was not about himself. He didn't come to be worshipped as an earthly king. He came to be the Savior of the world, to seek and save those who are lost, to put his life on the line for the sake of sinful people like you and me. And so that's what he understood his role was. And so this is all great to hear, you know, this is all great thinking about shepherds and why the shepherds first. It's kind of cool to talk about that and understand why. But why does it all matter? Why does any of this matter? What can we learn from the shepherds and their experience? Well, there's three different lessons that we can learn. And here's the first lesson. Is that those who are insignificant matter greatly to the Lord. Those who are insignificant matter greatly to the Lord. You know, we've already discussed how the shepherds were viewed in everyday life. In many people's eyes, they were on the same level as sinful people, the sinners of society. But we see how God chose to identify himself with the poor and lowly, the outcasts, by being among them at his first coming. And listen, guys, this is not the only time that we see this. It's in God's nature to be concerned about those who are the outcast, the lowly, the people that are cast off by other people. You even see this in the Old Testament. In Psalm 103:6, the Bible says, the Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Proverbs 22, verses 22 through 23. 3 says, do not exploit the poor because they are poor and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. He's concerned about people who are oppressed and low and outcast. It's in his nature to do that. And of course, we don't just see that in the Old Testament. Jesus associated with the outcasts of society. He hung out with women. All right? He hung out with lepers. He hung out with tax collectors, those who were poor. He wasn't justifying their behavior or saying it was okay to be like certain behaviors that they were doing, but he hung out around them to offer them hope and life and good news. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he didn't say it's okay for you to live your life the way you've been living it. He didn't say it's okay to go and do that. He said, go and sin no more. But what did he offer her? He offered her good news, the living water, amen? He offered her hope, a way out of her sinful life. And so we know that Jesus often associated with the outcasts of society, those who are poor, those who are going through difficult times. You know, one way that we do that at our church is through our food pantry ministry, Palterra's Food Pantry. You know, God has given us a wonderful opportunity to connect with those who have the greatest need, the need of food. And we have more and more people signing up each and every week. And not only do we give them food, guys, we also introduce them to Jesus. I mean, if we just gave out food, anybody can do that, right? Any person can feel bad for another person and give them food and help them. But we've got to go beyond that. We've got to look at their spiritual needs as well. And so, yes, we offer them food as a way to get our foot in the door, but we also share the love of Jesus with them as well. And so we cannot grow weary in doing this wonderful ministry because we've been called by God to look at people just like that who have needs. And let me tell you, we have some very broken people that come to our pantry. We have some people that on the surface, you try to maybe help some of the surface issues and you get into their lives and there's 10 other things you have to deal with. It's not just giving them food. There's other things. We have to get our hands dirty. We have to get to know people that are living in difficult situations. People that others would think are the outcasts of society. We are there loving them through our food pantry. We're loving them. And so those who are insignificant matter greatly to the Lord. Another thing that we learn from the shepherds and from this story is that worshiping is a natural response to hearing good news. Worshiping is a natural response to hearing good news. What does the Bible say the shepherds did when they heard the good news of the Savior's birth? They throw a big party and have a fun time? No. They left immediately. They decided to seek the Lord for themselves. So they traveled to Bethlehem, and guess what? They found everything that the way the angel had said it would be, right? Everything was there exactly the way the angels had said. And so they decided to seek the Lord and to worship him. And I realize that for you and I, we don't typically have an angel convey good news to us. We don't typically see a host of angels praising the Lord. But you know what we do have? We have the infallible Word of God. Amen? The infallible, the inerrant Word of God. And when we read God's Word, when we know the goodness of God, when we sing the praises of God, does that move you to worship Him? Does that move you to sing praises to Him? When He speaks to you, do you offer Him praise? One of the biggest ways that God speaks to us is through His Word. Yeah, He can speak to us through songs or other pastors or teachers or circumstances. He can speak to us. But the number one way that God speaks to us is through His Word. And when He speaks to you, does it move you to worship Him and adore Him? The Bible says that when the shepherds returned to their flocks, they couldn't help but worship the Lord. And their response is kind of mirrored by the heavenly host as well. And guys, here's the thing. I was thinking about this. If you think about it, you and I have many more reasons to worship the Lord. The shepherds only knew of the birth. They only knew of the birth of a baby, the promised Messiah. We know much more about Jesus, how He lived a sinless life, how He went to the cross, how the grave didn't hold Him, He came back to life. And He's with the Lord now. He was resurrected. He's with the Lord. We know the whole picture. They only knew one part of it. And the fact that we've been saved by grace through faith should cause us to worship Him daily. Worshiping is a natural response to hearing good news. And then finally, the third lesson we learn, and a very important lesson, is that God uses ordinary people for His redemptive purposes. God uses ordinary people for his redemptive purposes. You know, the shepherds, the lowly shepherds, the outcasts of society, those who thought were sinful people, the shepherds of all people were the very first missionaries. Amen? You think of all the great missionaries that we've ever studied or know about, the people that we pray for now that are on the mission field, all great missionaries, all great people, men and women of God who's called, have been called and listen and go. But the shepherds were the very first missionaries. And after they saw Jesus, they spread the word, didn't they? And the Bible says that all who heard it were amazed. It means they listened, they listened to the message, and in their joy, they couldn't help this. Isn't that what a witness does? If you are called to go and witness in a court case, I've had to do that before. It's not very fun. But you go into the courtroom and you swear in and you sit down, and this lawyer begins to ask you, tell me what you heard, tell me what you saw. And so that's what a witness is, and that's what the shepherds did. Listen, we often make sharing the gospel or sharing our personal testimony too complicated. We don't really need a formal training. I'm not saying we shouldn't learn how to share the gospel or practice it. We did that here, looking at the three circles, a way to have gospel conversations. There's nothing wrong with that. But we really don't need formal training, because anyone can share the good news. Mature Christian, young Christian alike, everyone can share. All of us as believers have the ability to share with others how Jesus has radically changed our lives, transformed our lives. We all have a personal testimony. We all know who we were before Christ, and we know who we are after Christ. If you don't know, able to share anything else, share that. And talk about how Jesus has changed you. We don't have to wait until we feel qualified. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will speak through us. Amen? But be a witness. If the shepherds who were the outcasts in society could spread the good news about Jesus' birth, then we can certainly tell others about how Jesus has saved us and changed us. And it's your personal testimony. In fact, we've often said, probably that's what people are going to be most interested in anyway. How did Jesus affect your life personally? Tell me how that's changed your life. And unless they want to call you a liar, they're going to listen to what you have to say and believe what you have to say. And most likely, they already see the difference in your life anyway. But we have the Holy Spirit. He will speak through us. Evangelism is not just for pastors and ministry leaders and missionaries. Evangelism is for all of us. And God wants to use all of us, mature in Christ, young in Christ, he wants to use us. So the shepherds in the Christmas story, as we kind of come to a close here, show us that the Lord does not play by the normal rules of society. He just doesn't. And that's the neat thing about God, right? He just doesn't play by the normal rules. He identifies with the outcast. He chose to be counted among them. He chose them to hear about the birth of the Messiah. He chose them to be the very first missionaries. Their example reminds us that we need to take time to worship the Lord and to tell others his glorious message. What better time than to share the message of Christ right now? We've often said we're in the Christmas season, right? People are already thinking about things. Even people that are secular and still celebrate Christmas, they understand what Christmas is all about. They know why we truly celebrate. They may not embrace it, and they may not care, but they know why we do. It's a perfect opportunity to talk about the things of Jesus and how God has changed our lives. And so the shepherds give us that example to tell others about the glorious message of Christ. It also reminds us that the gospel's for everyone. Amen? For everyone. The gospel is for everyone. And we praise the Lord for that. Maybe today you're here and you say, well, Pastor, I don't know the Lord. I've never placed my faith and trust in Jesus. I understand who he is, and he was born, and he did all this stuff for me, but I've never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to give you that opportunity today. We always do it every week. And so here's the gospel. If you want to put your faith and trust in Jesus to become a Christian, here's what you need to do. Admit you're a sinner. That admission is for your own benefit. God already knows you're a sinner. You're not telling him anything that he doesn't already know. It's for your benefit. Understanding I'm a sinner and there's nothing that I can do in and of myself to save myself. And then you need to ask forgiveness and turn away from your sins. Tell the Lord you're sorry. Ask him to forgive you. And repent, which means turn away. Go the opposite direction. But you also have to believe. Believe that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel, the simple gospel. Jesus died, lived a sinless life, he was buried, he rose again. One day, he'll come back for his glorious bride. Until then, we're going to share with others. But you have to believe in what Jesus has done for you. And then, commit your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. He's your Savior because he's forgiven you. He's your Lord because he's your boss. And you need to follow him for the rest of your life so you can spend eternity with him. So if you want to place your faith and trust in Jesus as we sing this song in a minute, you can actually just pray a simple prayer just right where you are in making this commitment to the Lord. Telling him that you're sorry, that you're a sinner, you want forgiveness, you believe in what Jesus has done, and you want to commit your life to him. If you want me to help you with that, I'll be here at the front and we can pray through that together. Maybe there's another decision you need to make in your life. If you want to come talk to me, I'll be right here. If you want to fill out the Connect card that's in front of you or go online and fill it out, the information will come to me and we can talk with you sometime later about the decision you want to make. But the important thing is as we sing this song, to let God do business in our heart. So in today, learning about the shepherds, how is God speaking to you? What decision do you need to make this morning? Let's pray, and then we'll sing and let the Lord work. Father, we thank you today for what we've learned through the account of the shepherds. We're so thankful in many ways because of what this teaches us. The gospel's for everyone, that you are concerned about those who are low and below. Father, you're concerned about everyone. And Father, it just shows us that that ordinary people can do extraordinary things for you. Pray that we would remember that. Lord, today we declare that there's nothing special about any of us. We're sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. But Lord, you so desire to use us for your redemptive purpose. And if you can use the shepherds, you can use all of us today. Father, help us to remember that. We thank you that your Son is the good shepherd. We thank you that he laid down his life for the sake of his sheep. Lord, for those who need to make that decision today, I pray that you would impress upon them now, open their eyes to their need for you. I pray that they would call upon your name to be saved today. Father, we humble ourselves before you. We ask you to have your way in us. And we ask this in Jesus' name.